Well, Marilyn, I think we should begin. Do you want to open us and just say something about Gather the Women and this call, and then I'll take it from there?
Okay. I'll tell you where the inspiration came from, which actually came from Jen. Each year, Gather the Women, which is a national, international organization, Gather the Women Global Matrix, our purpose is to gather women, to bring women together. And each year, on International Women's Day, we do a celebration, a program, throughout the country, actually, and with some of the people overseas as well. And each year, there's a theme. This year, the theme was leadership, and sort of redefining leadership for women specifically. And that was the where we started. Jen was part of what we called our fishbowl. We had, I think, 8 women from ages, 20s, 30s, but anyways, it went all the way up, talking about leadership among themselves as we observed their conversation, how it's changed, where it needs to go, et cetera. Then Jen came up with a wonderful follow-up idea, which was, let's have this class. And that's how we got here. So the objective this morning and for this series would be really to talk about leadership, how we define it, how we use it, I think how we redefine it in our own image, if you will. So that's kind of a quick introduction.
Great, thank you. Did someone else just join?
Yeah, it's Mary Elizabeth.
Hi, Mary Elizabeth. Welcome. So Marilyn just shared with us the history that got us to this moment, and I just
everything
want to say
you
thank
know,
you. Everything you know, right? I just want to say thank you to Gather the Women for hosting this, for sponsoring this, for inviting your community to be in the conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, and
I'm just going to say I'm disappointed that we don't have a larger turnout for this, and partly ME was saying that perhaps 9 o'clock in the morning wasn't the best hour for working women, but anyway, we're going to continue to promote it, and hopefully we'll have more people joining us as the weeks come.
Yeah.
How many people are on the call?
Right now, we have about 6 people here, I think, with all of us included.
And we're waiting for, I think, maybe 2 or 3 more?
Yeah, there are 3 or 4 more people registered, but let's begin. So,
someone just came in.
Hi, Jen. This is Shay.
Hi, Shay. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Is your girl asleep?
She's being tended to.
Beautiful.
Awake.
Being tended to awake, yes. We could have a whole call on the working mama juggle.
Yeah, I'm juggling.
This would be a great conversation, but that wasn't where we were going to go today. I'll just say there are a couple people who don't know me well on the call. So my name is Jen Cohen, and I'm the co-founder and co-director of a small business called Seven Stones Leadership Group, where our commitment is to really develop a new paradigm for living and leading that will sustain all beings into the future and help turn the boat around. Our little sinking ship called Planet Earth with human beings on it, and get us floating again and build some new structures for all of us to thrive for many generations to come. And that's really our core commitment. And I've been in the conversation about women and the conversation about leadership for quite some time, and been working with human beings around fulfilling their potential for the past 20 years. And I'm really happy to be in a group of women. It's actually been true confessions. It's been a while since I've just done a women's conversation, so it's really sweet to be here with all of you.
Great. Jen, that's beautiful. And I just want to say there's a real weird kind of feedback going on. Is anyone else hearing that?
No.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Huh. So let's try this. As much as I hate trying this, let's try everybody doing *6 for a minute and see if it eliminates the feedback. *6 will mute you, as much as I don't want you muted. I think... Yeah. Sometimes if someone is on a cell phone or a speakerphone or some particular apparatus, that's it produces a certain kind of interference. If you think you might be one of those people and can switch, although I still hear a little something funky.
What did you say you thought it was?
Sometimes it's people on a speakerphone or a cell phone or a headset. Sometimes there's some way that people's technology is causing a bit of interference on the line.
Okay. I'm on a headset, but it usually doesn't affect anything.
Well, try muting just for a second, Marilyn, just so we can get the culprit potentially. Hi, can you all hear me? No, there's still a little something. So we'll do the best we can with it. I'm not sure I have an alternative. So given that it's going to stay, you can all unmute yourselves. The title of this conversation today was, "What Do We Do Now?" And the reason that I titled it that is because I've been living in that question for a while now. And I thought, well, if I'm living in that question, I bet you I'm not the only woman on the planet living in that question.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened when the, quote, economic crisis struck. And what happened inside my own body was this experience of immobilization and this incredible question called, what do I do now? How do I think? How do I move? How do I interact with people? How do I coach them? That at some level it brought me to re-look and ask questions about everything. And so what I wanted to do is give each of us an opportunity to think about, for a moment, the questions that we're sitting with. And if you don't already have a pencil or pen and paper, and I'd prefer that to computer and paper, probably for obvious reasons, you might want to go grab one now. And if you do have one, I'd like everyone, we're actually going to do something a little funny for a telecall, which is have a couple of moments of just quiet. We can't see each other and feel each other in quite the same way, so it's a little funny. But we're just going to do that. And my invitation is for each of you to take a couple of moments without doing too much thinking. This does not require thinking. It really just requires the movement of your hand across the paper and a dropping into your breath and a dropping into your knowing. And to just allow yourself to make an inquiry into what are the questions that have come up for you? What are the questions that you're sitting with? What are the questions that keep you up at night or agitated or keep you curious? And just take a minute now. We're going to have about 2 minutes and then I'll call us back together. And questions can be personal, deeply personal. The questions can be professional. The questions don't have to be, quote, about leading. Just what are you wondering about? What do you feel like you don't have the answer to? Go ahead and just wrap it up if you haven't already. And then what, if anyone would like to share, what questions are you contending with? And when you speak, please say your name and anything else you want to share, just to introduce yourself and put yourself into this intimate, small group of women that we have here right now.
Jen?
Yep.
It's Shay.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to go.
Great.
I am mostly a mom right now of a 2.5-year-old, and the question, what do I do now, is feeling really profound as I emerge from the first 2 years of being in a really, in a maternal cocoon, as I like to call it. And I wrote a lot of questions down, but the one that most has most energy for me right now is, when am I going to get to tend to my sex life? Out of all these other pressing priorities.
Great. Thank you. Other folks, Gina, Beth, Jen, Marilyn, Mary Elizabeth.
Mary Elizabeth. And I kind of divided my concerns into personal and community and global. And of course, the personal or my own kind of financial crisis that I'm in, having gotten into real estate investing. So my own financial empire collapsed, as well as did my career as a realtor. So. Yeah, I'm really looking at what do I do now. And, you know, luckily I have a recession-proof career also as an RN, so I have my career back in motion again, so that's good. But I'm really concerned about this 23 years I've put into trying to create a better world where there's less poverty, and more equality for women, and I just feel really kind of like, what do we do now in terms of that? Because I know for the poor people in our world, it's just been made so much harder. And I'm also really concerned about our younger generation and our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's going to happen in that regard.
Yep. Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had also broke it into three areas, too. I said the conversation out there and in here for me has been fraught with a lot of fear and unknown. And much to my amazement, I'm not uncomfortable with that, which is unusual for me. I usually go to fear first, but I sort of feel that we are so all in the same basket right now that it helps me to flow with it. And I do think I have great faith in the new that's going to rise out of this. I also, the other question I do often live in is, how do we motivate and create community when everybody is scrambling for time, energy, focus, everybody is. And lastly, what I do, I think, when all else fails is I create something new. And I'm personally deep into the launching of a new movement built on the issues of a world more fully balanced, restoring feminine values and influence on the planet as a source of answers and solutions. So that's kind of where my world is right now. I have a lot of what next that I'm just watching. So I'm sort of in an observing mode for that.
Great.
Oh, so Jen, and it's an interesting question because I mean, just timely for me, because I was actually in the shower this morning, and I was thinking about all of these amazing people that I know and that I interact with, and they all have these gifts that are just tremendous in the world, but they're all, in a certain way, isolated. And I was thinking about, okay, how, like, where's the blend? Like, how do we get people, everybody moving together instead of, like, my product's better than yours or I have this, you know, like, moving out of that and moving into things moving together so that we can actually develop something that's impactful. You know, like, the sum of the whole is stronger than each individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and other questions that I'm, you know, as I'm looking at my list of writing, other questions that showed up on my list were, like, what difference are the children of the world? Like, I have a 4.5-year-old and a 2-year-old. What difference in the world are these children going to be making? And how can I support that from a really global, you know, a long-term way so that it's, you know, again, the sum of the whole. So how do we create the sum of the whole, you know, the whole?
Mm-hmm.
How do we create the whole?
Yeah, and also actually, one of the things that came up for me today really was noticing how I resist my imperfection. Should I say? And how just that deep work for me to look at when I'm not on the top or, you know, when I'm feeling low and whatnot, like finding the acceptance in that and creating wholeness in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Forwarding, you know, that in and of itself, forwarding everything.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Right.
Making sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Does anyone else?
This is Gina.
Yeah.
Yep. Gosh, I have so many questions on all kinds of levels. Like Marilyn, I'm really I've been doing some research and studying of the masculine and feminine traits and really into that and kind of thinking, you know, when will we respect and value the feminine? And, you know, kind of like, it's not working. So I'm asking those kinds of questions. I'm asking about my own role in the global community and how I'm being called forth. And I'm also, you know, on a personal level, well, kind of like, what do we need to let go of? And on a personal level, you know, what will open up for me when I really let go of, you know, all the distractions and addictions and tolerations. And there's something that I'm questioning about discomfort, you know, being with discomfort, mm-hmm. and how can we learn to embrace that in the name of change. And then just lastly, I have a really weird question that came up, and it kind of makes me feel unempathetic, but I'm sort of asking, why am I not so afraid? And, I don't know. It's a weird question that I wonder if I can, you know, put that feeling to good use in a way to help others feel not so afraid. But that's what I'm questioning in it. Like why am I not so afraid? I should be more afraid. Like, you know, sort of like things are falling apart around us and I should be under a table. but I'm not, and so I'm kind of looking at that.
That's a superb question. How do we embrace discomfort is such a good question. Thank you for that.
Sure. And the mistaking that we, it's so rich with, well, what everybody's saying. We could go off on each thing, but this thing about discomfort and fear mm-hmm. and safety and the confusion, I think, that people get about I'm extremely uncomfortable and confusing that with being afraid or unsafe or like that something's wrong.
Have we heard from everybody? Is Beth, are you there?
We haven't heard from everybody.
Yeah. Okay. I'm here. And my question run along the same lines, a lot of what next. I'm in transition, and so how do I create income now or allow income into my life? And a lot, the way I worded this was, how do I relax into the unknown, mm-hmm. into faith, and how do I release that the fear that's there? And then I wrote down this question, my next steps as an agent of the sacred feminine, but I'm mm-hmm. really being shown that step by step. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering why I still wrote that question down. So, mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, and that agent of the sacred feminine and in connecting women in authentic relationship for empowerment, you know, just where... checking in that I'm following the right next steps.
That's great. Thank you.
It reminds me of a T-shirt that I made. I had made. It had a big fractal on the front, and around it says, "Give chaos a chance." And I think that's what I'm kind of hearing. We don't know really, you know, how do you live in discomfort? How do you live in the unknown? And how do we give chaos a chance? I think that phrase helps me a lot, recognizing that it is out of chaos that the new is formed. And that's where I'm kind of holding my vision right now.
That's great. So the next question that I have for all of you is to just take a moment and reflect on what is your current relationship to your questions. Is it a relationship of friendliness and kindness and welcome? Is it a relationship of impatience? Is it a relationship of I'm supposed to know and I don't.
Yep.
And maybe you have different relationships to different questions. But to just take a moment and notice how you are with all the questions that you have about life on Earth, about your own personal life, your parenting, your sex life, your financial life, your career, future generations, the feminine, how to get up in the morning. What is your relationship to those questions? How are you with yourself about this incredibly long list of questions that you have? And just like sort of first thought, first feeling, first thing that popped into your mind when I asked the question, what comes up for people?
Well, I alternate, this is Beth, I alternate between impatience and faith.
Yeah.
Just keep going back and forth that impatience to know the answers and then faith that the answers will come and that I don't need to know the hows at this point, you know, that they'll just be laid out one by one.
Beautiful. I can relate to that. This is Jen. I can relate to that ping pong match.
Well, I was going to say the same thing. I definitely can. The weaving between impatience and faith is sometimes an interesting one. I think impatience has been sort of one of my MOs from the beginning anyway, and I'm at a different place in my life than the rest of you, and with an end zone not all that far in the distance for me, my impatience has increased and my sense of urgency has increased, and I'm still in that. I don't know quite, there's no answers in that, but that's a lot of where I am.
That's great. This is Jen. I know for me that in the context of being in this conversation called leadership, one of the, I too, as I just said, have this sort of impatience and faith dichotomy or canyon, you know, I'm swinging between. But I notice that I can also get caught in, well, I'm supposed to know the answer
mm-hmm.
because of my role. I'm supposed to know something that I no longer feel like I know. That in the last year, in the last 2 years, my having to confront not knowing and sitting in not knowing has just increased and increased and increased and increased.
Mm-hmm.
And we could say a whole lot about what it is to be able to sit in the unknown and how to keep cultivating that, but getting caught at times in, well, God, if I don't know, what am I going to, you know, what am I going to say? And it's partly, you know, everything I do is totally selfish. It was partly why I wanted to have a session that's all about questions, because I think that it's, well, I won't say that part right now, so I'll let other people talk. But yeah, questions.
Well, this is Mary Elizabeth, and I know at first I had a lot of fear, but now I notice I'm allowing more openness or curiosity to come through and simplicity. You know, maybe how I thought my life should go isn't really the divine plan. And by allowing the truth to come through, that maybe it'll be better than I thought. So I guess that's faith speaking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Jen, and when I was writing the questions, I found myself, I felt very curious, and really in the question, of what now, or what are the questions that are coming up for me? And as I'm looking through my questions now, I'm sniffing at the scent of what I should be doing that I'm not doing, like impatience with myself and a degradation of myself and my who I am in the world, like just downcutting myself, like I'm not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
I see that in there. And yet, at the same time, when you said the word faith, I was like, oh, yeah, I have that also. You know, that's entwined in there. So it's, I'm seeing how it's so not black and white. There's so much gray in all of it. Humans, I guess.
Oh, Jen, are you done, sweet?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else want to say what you feel like your relationship is to the questions that you have?
One of the things that came up for me, it sort of relates to embracing discomfort, but I feel like we are all in a shift from knowing the answers to living in the questions.
Yes.
And that is not a comfortable place to be, but it is
yes.
part of this time because we really can't know. I had an experience many years ago where every New Year's Eve I'd have the guests come in and we'd sort of intuit the year to come. And then about 10 years ago, I realized that none of us could because things were changing so fast. And of course, that's all gone even faster. So, it's being getting comfortable with not knowing.
Yes, beautiful. I think that's really right. I think it's sort of... I was having a conversation with a small business owner who's been, he runs a consulting firm and, you know, has been hit by what's happened in the world. And we were talking about how on earth does he, quote, plan for the future? And that all the strategies and techniques, writing a strategic plan or thinking 5 years out, that it's almost become impossible to be able to do that.
Yeah.
We don't have any roadmap anymore to predict the future in the same way that we had. We just really don't. Anything could happen at any moment now.
I laugh at my stockbroker who says, well, you know, we've been here before. And I think, no, honey, we've really never been here before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a recession. You know, we've had these, you know, we've had these several times. We've had the depression. We've bounced back. And if you look at what's happening in the world around really the degradation of the planet and our resources, we've never been here before. We've never been on the downward side of the quantity of oil. We've never been... with 6 billion plus people multiplying at this rate. We've never been in this moment.
Never have been. Never have been, yeah. And it's a grand illusion that we've been here before and here's how it's always worked out. So I think that's the illusion we're letting go of in all parts of our lives right now.
And really, and what I'm hearing also, this is Jen saying, speaking, is that it's every moment is a new moment. I mean, it's a reminder that all the other moments were new moments also. So the idea that we create the illusion that anything is the same as any other thing is almost silliness, which points me back to the present moment and the power and the intention of living in the present moment with what's so right now.
Yeah, this certainly not only gives us the opportunity to stay in the present, but almost forces us to stay in the moment.
It's an offer. It's a gift that we have available to us and a sense of well-being that shows up inside that moment and then the next moment and then the next moment.
It's
always there for us.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if you heard me. It's always here for us as women and as humans, the present moment.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else to get but present.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ms. Jenna, I wanted to read a quote from Rilke from his writings in Letters to a Young Poet. And he said, I'm sure some of you have heard this before, he says, I would like to beg you, dear sir, as well as I can, to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart, and to try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer.
Mm. Wow. Beautiful. Thank you.
Mm. I love that quote.
Try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. And so the next question that I have is how, and people are pointing to it, already in this conversation, is how do we do that? If what we're saying is there are no more answers, there are only questions, and there's only how we engage with those questions as women, as leaders, as mothers, grandmothers, holders of the community vision, if there are only questions left, and it is only our living and our leading is about how we engage with those questions, the quality and presence that we bring to those questions. How do we cultivate? How do we become the keeper of the questions? How do we love those questions? What does that look like? How would we know we were loving the questions and living everything? And how do we then become that exemplar? How do we become that way, that path for others to then follow? And I'm sure some of you have been cultivating this already. I know it. So I invite us to just... Actually, I invite us to take a moment to just sit. And if you have a practice that you already do, that is a practice that brings you into quiet, please simply follow those inner instructions. And if you don't, just see if for a moment you can just follow your breath. Just follow your sensation. Allowing sound and background noise and anything in your personal environment to just wash in and out. How do we become the keepers of the questions? The facilitators of the questions inside ourselves, inside our communities, inside our clients, inside our customers, inside our children and grandchildren.
And how do we begin to cultivate the ability to tolerate? And I don't mean tolerate like put up with, I mean tolerate like be with, like be able to be with the discomfort of not knowing in a culture where everything that is good is known. We pray to the known in this society. We pray to the answer and the approval that we get from having it. And the strength and the power that we get from having it. So thoughts, feelings, what's being evoked for y'all? And I'm really sorry about this just ugly noise in the background. I'm having to, it's a real Buddhist moment for me. I'm just allowing the sound.
Jen, this is Jen.
Oh. How about we take Shay and then Jen? Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling so excited right now and hopeful. My most recent practice has been just this, has been going to my mat, and after years of a physical yoga practice, bringing myself to the ground and lying there and doing some work to become present and embodied, and then literally asking either out loud or inside myself to be shown what the next part of my practice is in that moment. And the questions vary because I'm being taught in that moment what my practice is to become present and develop my listening for the direct guidance that we can call all different kinds of names, that direct guidance. And I do this regularly and am just now starting to experiment with what that looks like in day-to-day life, which is a new muscle for me to bring forth. And I have another big question, which is, and I'm watching you do it actually right now, but how do you bring this forth to others so that people have the opportunity to be in their own questions? And for me, it's a very somatic experience. It's very physical and sensation-based to be that present and that with the questions, like to tolerate my discomfort with not knowing or not hearing. Sometimes I lay there and I don't hear anything, or I'm too agitated to be there, or it looks very different every time I do this, like life, like in my day-to-day. I'm becoming more convinced that that's the only way to say, even in some ways, do coaching, which is the practice, one of the lineages I'm operating under. And so that's one of my questions is, especially as I'm not developed enough, I feel almost in a pause of my own coaching practice because I now see the other possibility and opportunity to bring this, the possibility of people having their own direct guidance and their own direct experience, both with, through a coaching session. But so what to do before I know what that looks like for me to help in that way. So that's what I'm thinking about. Just, you know, the possibility of this being the way forward through this, you know, being with and being guided by our own deeper knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah.
It's really just, you know, it's akin to ecstasy for me. You know, such freedom that I don't need to go figure it out with my brain or go somewhere else outside myself to get the answer.
or to relieve, you know, like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful, sweet. I mean, it's, and how do you coach from the unknown? You know, I definitely did some preparation for this session. A lot of it was just asking what's needed, what's needed, what's needed. It used to be that I'd write agendas and lists and outlines and activities, and that's how I created my workshops and my talks and whatever else, right? I mean, even my coaching sessions in the beginning. And now it's like, how do we, and to me what you're talking about is the, it is the gift of the feminine, which is how do you simply sit and receive yourself and so deeply trust that, Shay, that something good will emerge from that, that the body and the vessel that you are is trustworthy, and the wisdom that will pour through is trustworthy, and that if you bring that wholeheartedly to your client, to your coaching session, to your daughter, to yourself, what will arise in the space will be beautiful.
Yeah.
Won't be perfect.
Right.
But it will be beautiful.
Right, exactly. It won't be perfect, but it will be beautiful. I think the trust, that's, it's the trust. It's trusting.
Yeah.
And it's a discipline. Like, that's the other piece. This is a discipline, you know, and...
Yes,
and,
it is.
yeah, that's all I guess I'll say. Because I think, well, and I think also just the tension between doing a discipline but being relaxed. Because to receive the direction, you know, whatever, we can use lots of words for the direction, I at least need to be relaxed. But it also takes the discipline of presence, which can cause tension, you know, because I think I'm still learning that it's not necessarily concentration, you know, or like a focusing or like a narrowing, you know, of attention. It's actually an expansion and a relaxation of receiving, but it's also this incredible presence, which is a discipline. So that dance is also really, so to trust myself to bring that forth, both for myself, for my family, and then, you know, and outward, you know, local and global is what I'm looking at, you know, to trust that. Because it's always available, you know, it's just my really coming into awareness of that availability.
I'm hoping to hear from other people on this question as well. It was a very thoughtful question.
Thank you, Shay.
Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Gina. I'm just
I had told Jen she could speak,
sure.
And then we'll go to you, okay? Thanks,
sweetie. Of course.
Yeah. So, Jen, do you want to turn?
There were two things that came up for me. One was when I first started to meditate, and you mentioned breath, I got this image that stuck with me almost the whole time of questions like breathing them in and breathing them out, like the rhythmicness of being able to take it in, hold it for just long enough to get, you know, what we need, and then letting it go.
That's
and
beautiful.
Breathing it back in.
Yeah. It's like the Tonglen practice, right, where you just bring in everything from the world and then you release everything from the world. That's beautiful, Jen. It's great.
Yeah. And the other question that came up was my two kids jumped in immediately also in terms of, when you were talking about in a society that prides herself on knowing, and I instantly thought of in what way can I be in the question with them, you know, like as a legacy, not because of the school system and our society is so drilled down into the knowing and having the right answer. That being in the question with them, you know, freeing them now at age 2 and 4, or at least offering them a different possibility, and for myself, the freedom of exploring that with them with a young-heartedness, like a lightness and joy. And so it's actually turning me into that. You know, I can feel my body turning into that way of being with them, and it feels fun.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Gina?
Yeah. there's just so much synchronicity. Like, I feel like we're all, you know, saying the same things in so many different ways, and it's just beautiful to feel this connection. But I was thinking similar things. You know, Buddhist philosophies, you know, Jen mentioned those, and then I think it was Shay mentioned the trusting and the discipline. Really, you know, when you asked, like, how do we become the keepers of the questions, and just like Jen, I was thinking of the breath. You know, I wrote, you know, we give life to these questions. You know, they're born in our hearts, and then they come alive in our voices, and even more so in our bodies and our physical lives. So it's sort of like we need to be keepers. We need to keep asking them of ourselves, of others, and we need to be role models in our way of being. You know, curiosity to me is a way of being. And you really need, you know, the discipline, as Shay said, to go slow, you know, to take the time to be present, and, you know, in order to really, really let go and get quiet and again, like, let them live in us. So it's all so big and beautiful, and I'm like bursting right now. I want to talk for hours, and we don't have that time, so I'm going to stop. But thank you.
I think I'm just so present to, like, we are all living. We are all tasting and living and moving and experimenting with this new way. We are all living it in our way. And I'm just so really present to that. And that how much the body and the breath and the vessel is an access to archetypal feminine wisdom. And how. Anyone else? I want to be mindful of our time. We have about 4 minutes, and I'm curious if anyone else wants to share, Beth or Mary Elizabeth. Or...
Well, this is Beth, and I hadn't really ever stepped back to look at the questions as an entity in themselves.
Ah.
So this was a good exercise for me, or, you know, awakening. But what I have learned in this time, it follows along the same lines as everyone has been saying. You know, if I stay in the present moment and receptive, I am whole and complete, and I have everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that changes from moment to moment, what I have and, you know, and the what I'm doing. But if I keep bringing myself back to the present moment, I am whole and complete and healed and have everything I need. And I believe that staying present and staying in that knowing and faith spills over into the world for the world's healing.
Mm. Oh, wow, beautiful. So
before we close, do we have 1 minute? I have just a very quick reading that may summarize a lot of this.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, I was going to read a poem, but go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, let me give this a shot. This is something a friend of mine just wrote in part of an article she wrote called the 21st Century Human Upgrade. She says that once we forgot our infinite connection to a greater consciousness and our multidimensional divine natures, humans co-created our personal and consensual realities from a very limited consciousness. We created instead through filters of fear, from a framework of separateness, from ego-driven defensiveness, from our unacknowledged limiting beliefs, and from the constraints of personal unresolved trauma and conditioning. It's no wonder things look so imbalanced. So what I take when I read this is just that deep memory and remembering of that connection to the greater consciousness that begins to soothe my fears and bring me into a moment of it's all right, and it's all good.
I just thought that was a nice thing to share.
Beautiful. So that's great, Marilyn, because I'll still read the poem, and that would be the possibility. That's where we've been, and here's the possibility, which is also where we've been, actually. It's all a spiral. So this poem is called XAM Premonitions. It's by a bushman from Botswana named Kabo. And Kabo says, "The alphabet of the bushman is written in our bodies. The letters talk and vibrate. The letters move the body of the bushman. It orders everyone else to keep quiet. He himself is absolutely still. Then he feels his body softly palpitating on the inside. A dream talks false. A dream can mislead you, but the premonition talks the truth. The pulsing awareness which says somebody is coming. Especially the pulse in a wound. And you walk and the wound begins to palpitate. Then you send the children to go and see, and Grandpa is in the footpath on his way to you. That is what you feel in the wound. The wound tells you that. Or if your ribs start palpitating, then you take your arrows because you feel the short black hair of the ribs of the springbuck. If you climb Brink Hill, watch closely among the trees and green spruce because the springbuck you have already seen with your body and you feel the sensations in your thighs and calves as if you are already carrying the springbuck home on your back as if the springbuck is already bleeding down your thighs. That is why I always wait silently for the words of my body. I feel it in my feet, how the animals are sniffing around the hut. I feel it at my skull if they cut the horns of the hartebeest. I get a sensation down my forehead all along my nose like the dark, like the stain of the springbuck's snout. I feel my eyes swelling up like the stains of the springbuck's eyes. When I feel a tingling like fleas, I know my body has seen an ostrich. We lie down in front of the hut. We lie down stretched on the stretched out slopes of Brink Hill. It looks as if we are sleeping, as if we are taking a nap, but we are reading our bodies. We are reading everything that is moving on the plains, down below, the holes in the back of our knees. We get a feeling and then we wait, and then everything comes to us."
Wow.
So shaking, laying on the earth and waiting. And everything will come to you. So there's a certain kind of receptivity and openness and availability and deep interconnectedness. And then the knowing comes through the body, not through the brain or the mind. So thank you, beautiful women,